Jesus taught so many real-life lessons through real-life illustrations, also known as parables. Join us on this 8-week journey as we discover some of Jesus' real-life lessons and how we can apply them to our everyday lives. What's going on, Bridgemen? Welcome back to session number 7 in our Real Life Lessons series. We're really excited to get to spend another week with you guys. We appreciate you taking the time to gather there with your groups to discuss this stuff as we look at the parables of Jesus. Not only that, but I want to just continue to remind you about our devoted reading plan that we're doing through the church. And we've done our very, very best to make sure that all of our reading and our views on these parables have been, you know, kind of in the chronological, that's not the right word, but the order in which the Bible was written and laid out for us. So we hope that as you read through scripture, you'll see these parables, they'll continue to hit home with you, and that they will be able to impact you in your daily life. So today, the one that we're going to be looking at is found in Luke chapter 18. And this parable is called the Parable of the Persistent Widow. It might not be a heading in your Bible that reads exactly that way, but really this story gives us a picture of a widow who was persistent in asking for what she wanted. So I'm going to read this to you from Luke 18, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." So we should pray and we shouldn't be discouraged. We shouldn't lose heart. And he went on to say this, "There was a certain city where a judge who did not fear God nor regard man was presiding there. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God, no regard man.'" Think about that for just a moment. I don't fear God and I don't regard man. This is really a person who was saying, I don't care about really serving justice. I don't care about truth. I don't fear God and I don't really care about my fellow man. He really just had a job. He was only interested in himself. So even though this widow's coming to him, it wasn't that he wanted to serve justice. It was the fact that she was just persistent in coming to him. And what does he say? He says, "But because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she makes me weary. Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man," Jesus now talking about himself, "when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So Jesus tells the parable, he tells the story, and then he comes back around and says, "Will I find faith on the earth when I return?" Now, it's really, really important that we dissect like all the different angles of this parable, but let's first establish the principle. And here's what we're going to focus on today, guys. Pray, don't be discouraged, and don't give up. Let me say that one more time. Pray, don't be discouraged, and don't give up. So when we look through this illustration or the parable that Jesus uses, what we see is that there's a person, this widow, who has a problem and they need justice. They feel as though they've been treated unjustly. So what does she do? She goes to this judge and asks that he would legally avenge her. So she comes with her troubles and she comes with her worries and all of her cares and she lays it at his feet. And we find out that the judge here is unjust, as the scripture says, and that eventually because of her persistence, he gives her the justice that she wants. So I want to look at the parable itself for just a few moments, and let's just pull out three main points that we'll look at from the parable alone, okay? First of all, if you want to take notes, or you should have it there in your discussion guide, number one, God is a just God who cares about the needs of his people. God is a just God who cares about the needs of his people. Now, Jesus is contrasting the nature of God to the nature of this unjust judge to show that if this unjust judge is willing to respond to persistence, how much more will our just God, who cares about us, respond to our needs? Think about that for a minute. How much of, if our God, who is just, our Father in heaven, who loves us, is actually a just God, a just Father, how much will he respond to us if persistence will get the attention of even unjust people in our world? And let's talk about this for a minute. You know, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says that we can cast all of our care upon God because he cares for us. Guys, I want you to know that before we even begin to pray about the needs of our life, our concerns, our worries, our fears, our challenges, all the things that we're dealing with, the things that seem to kind of plague us and bog us down on a daily basis, before we even begin to pray about those things, we have to pray with an understanding that our God cares, that He knows, that He sees, and not only that, we can cast all of our cares on Him because even before we ask, He cares about us. So think about it this way. Guys, what if you've never thought about God that way? What if you've never thought about God actually caring for you before you even ask for Him to intervene and bring you help? You know, when we think about that for a moment, I know that sometimes when I think about my perception and my view of God, there are times where if I don't stop and remind myself of what the Word of God says, I can think that maybe God's just out there distant in the sky somewhere, maybe not caring about what I'm going through. And this thing that I'm dealing with might feel heavy to me, but sometimes before I even begin to pray about it, before I ask or I just take it to God, I need to stop and remind myself that Scripture is so clear that God cares about my needs before I even ask. In fact, Jesus taught it that way. He said, "Your Father in heaven, He knows exactly what you need before you even ask." So therefore, God knows, He sees, and He cares. And I have to know that I can come to God first knowing that He cares. In Philippians chapter 3, it says that God will meet all of our needs according to His riches in His glory. Think about it this way. Sometimes we can feel inadequate because of our lack of riches and maybe our lack of our stature, or our own greatness, or our own ability to meet all of our own needs. But God wants to meet all of our needs through all of His riches and according to His glory, right? That God is glorified in His providing for His kids. So know that before you even begin to pray that God cares. He cares about what's going on in your life. So therefore, you can cast your cares upon Him. No matter what you need to know that God cares about your need. I'm gonna say that again, I like that. No matter what you need to know that God cares about your need. Don't be afraid to ask God, He cares before you even ask. Here's the second thought though. God wants us to ask not just once, but God wants us to ask with persistence. I'll say it again, God wants us to ask with persistence. You know, this widow in the story, the parable that Jesus tells, she had a need. It was a situation where she needed justice, and this judge was the one who could bring it. But he didn't care about her. He didn't have a fear of God. He didn't have a fear of man, no reverence for God. So he had no regard for what was right and what was wrong, no matter the situation. He was an unjust judge. So it would have seemed impossible for this unjust judge to bring about justice. So think about this. Even though it looked impossible, she didn't give up. She kept asking. She kept asking. She kept asking. And she kept going back to the judge to get the justice that she needed. And this is a picture of persistence. Why? Because God wants us to come and He wants us to ask. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, we see these three chapters, Matthew 5 through 7, where Jesus gives us what we know is the Sermon on the Mount. And He talks here about asking, seeking, and knocking. You know, we can ask believing that God's going to answer. We can seek believing that we'll find what we're looking for. And we can knock believing that God's going to open up that door. But when you go back and you look at these writings and the words of Jesus in the original context, it doesn't just mean to knock once or to ask once or to seek once. It means to ask and to keep asking, to seek and keep seeking, to knock and keep knocking. I think about the neighbor kid that lives next door to us, you know, like he comes and he wants to play with my kids. And sometimes like we can get annoyed, maybe the baby's asleep upstairs or something, but he wants to play with my kids. So what does he do? He comes and he knocks. And then if nobody answers the door, he'll keep knocking. Sometimes he'll start beating on the window next to the door. We're like, dude, stop hitting my window. And sometimes like I want to get up. I don't want to answer the door, right? Because I know what he wants. My kids are going to get the door in a minute. Don't worry. But then when he starts beating on the window, I have to walk up and tell him, hey, don't do that. Like, stop knocking on the window. It's cool if you knock on the door. But his persistence gets our attention. And I think we need to understand that persistence will get the attention of the heart of God. You know, you look at Psalm 116 in verse 2. This is what it says. It says by the psalmist, the words of the psalmist, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Because he bends down to listen, because I know that God hears my prayers, because I know that he cares, because he's not just listening from afar, but he bends down to listen, to hear my words, to hear my prayers, to hear what's going on in my life. Think about that, guys. Think about the idea that right now, whatever it is that's burdening you, It's not just about talking to God and bringing it to Him persistently, but knowing that when you pray persistently, He reaches down, He bends down, He comes near to hear the cry of your heart. That's the heart of our God. Therefore, we can come to Him persistently, knowing that He cares. But after Jesus says that the unjust judge was worn out from this woman's persistence, He intervenes and says, "How much more will the just God intervene when His own people cry out to Him day and night?" Or that's what we want to talk about here from this passage. You see, our asking acknowledges our need for God, and it opens the door for Him to work in our life. We're acknowledging, "God, I need you. I need you to be involved." And again, we know that, but there's something about crying out that lets God know we care about getting His attention. We care about being in partnership with Him. We care about bringing Him into the challenge, bringing Him into the issue. You know, and I also want you to notice this. Notice that this widow only went to the judge. The scripture doesn't say that the widow went and talked to everybody else to find out where they could get help from, to find out where she could get justice from. She didn't go gossip. She didn't go to her neighbors just to spread the word about this injustice that had been done to her. No, she went to the one place that she knew she could get justice, and that was from the judge. She went to the one who had the power to change her situation. Guys, can I just ask you a question? When it comes to the things that might be plaguing you right now, who are you talking to about it? Are you gossiping about it? Maybe you feel like you've been wronged in some way. And rather than going to the one place where you can get justice, you know, maybe there is a person in a position of authority that you can go to get what you need who can help you. But still, guys, we have to choose to navigate this well and go to the right places and not the wrong ones. And sometimes we can totally mishandle these times of need. We'll go talking, we'll go gossiping, we'll go looking to people to solve a problem for us or to tell us what to do, even though we know that they might not necessarily be the ones who have the solution. We'll go anywhere but to the one place where we know we can find what we need. And that, of course, is our God, our Father in heaven, who cares about every single one of our needs. Guys, are you going to the one place that you know you can find help? Are you going to the one place where you know you can find answers and maybe even the justice that you're looking for? Don't go looking in all the wrong places. Go to the one place where you can get help. Guys, I know a lot of us will find ourselves in situations where we'll look around and we'll say, "Who do I even ask? Who do I talk to about this? Who can fix this? Who can give me encouragement? Who can give me wisdom? Who can give me direction?" There's going to be times in our life where we don't know who to go to. But that's the beauty of having the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. If we begin to open up and pray to God and say, "God, this is the dilemma, this is the crossroads, this is the unknowing place that I find myself in, can you please give me wisdom and direction for this situation?" It's amazing how God will either begin to just show us in our heart and our spirit the course of action that we're supposed to take, or He'll bring the right person along our path who can bring wisdom and guidance and direction into our life. We have to be careful to know that it's God that's giving that direction, but if we'll reach out to Him, He'll be sure to talk to us. He'll be sure to bend down and hear our cries, because He cares about what's going on in our life. But go to the right place and don't be afraid to be persistent. And the third thing from this parable that I want to point out is our persistence reveals our faith. Maybe another way of saying this is that our persistence is a reflection of our faith. Our persistence reveals our faith. You know, Jesus concludes the parable by asking if when He returns, will He really find this kind of faith on the earth? You see, the widow's faith was evident, not just in the fact that she asked, but it was evident in the fact that she continued to ask. She was persistent in the things that she was asking for. She didn't accept the judge's answer as being final. She continued to go back. And we get to choose who gets the final word in our lives, guys. Think about that. We get to choose who's going to have the final word in our lives. And even reading that, like, this isn't in my notes, but one of the thoughts that just came to me is sometimes we can be confronted with difficult situations because somebody gives us a first word, and that first word is a bad word. It's a bad report. It's a negative report, or it's a negative thing that's kind of brought into our life. And sometimes that initial first word of negativity or fear or whatever can just get down and sink into our heart and bring us to this place of despair. And that first word has got us down. And sometimes what we'll do is that first word sinks into our heart, and because it becomes so overwhelming for us, that first word can become the final word. But what if, like this widow, we said, no, I'm not going to take this first word as being the final word. I'm going to go to the one who can fix the problem, allow their word to be the final word over this situation in my life. You see, the persistent widow, she chose to continue to go back and go back until she bugged that judge enough to get what she wanted, because she knew, no, you can change this situation. And when you bring about change, that's going to have the final word in this situation. And I love that picture. You know, in Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, I really want to encourage you guys to hold on to this verse. This has become a bit of a life verse for me, because there are times in my life, I can tell you over the last few years especially, where I've had to like repeat this verse out loud and just remind myself that this is what the psalmist said when he found himself in the most difficult of times. Again, Psalm 27, 13 and 14. It says, I would have lost all heart or all hope, other translations say, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. We have to be guys who believe. We have to choose that no matter what things are looking like around us, no matter how bad the circumstances, no matter how bad the relationship, no matter how bad the failure, the mistakes, the regret that you might have, there has to be a hope as followers of Christ in our heart that says, I know I feel hopeless right now, but I will choose to believe that I will see the goodness of God, not just in heaven, not just in eternity. No, I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Guys, you have been given life on this earth. You've been given a family. You've been given a job. You've been given relationships. You've been given a spouse. And you look at all the different things that God has given you in your life. No matter how bad the circumstance, no matter how bad the challenge, you have to make a choice. We have to make a choice in our own hearts. No, I will see the goodness of God in this lifetime, in this situation, in this challenge. I'm going to see victory. And that will be the final word over the thing that I'm dealing with today. You might not have seen it yet, but you got to choose to let God's word be the final word even before you get to that outcome. Don't be afraid of it, guys. Don't be afraid of it. You got to choose to say it out loud. Hebrews 11 says this in verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, or what we do not yet see. That's what faith is. It's taking steps of action. It's stepping out and believing, no, this is what the outcome is going to be, even if I haven't seen it come to pass yet. Persistence in prayer reveals our faith and also continues to produce greater faith in our life, greater trust in our life, knowing that if we got through this, no matter what I face next, God's going to be with me and I can trust him in the future. Hey guys, whatever you're going through right now, it might feel like the biggest challenge you've ever dealt with before. I can promise you this, it's not going to be your last challenge. I'm sorry to tell you that. Maybe no one's ever said it to you like that before, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I have way better news. God's going to get you through the thing that you're facing right now, and when he gets you through this, it's going to build greater faith inside of you for the next thing that's on the horizon. That's not to speak challenges over your life, but guess what? We're going to deal with challenges. Jesus said, hey, you're going to have tribulations in this life, but take heart. I have overcome the world. God wants to walk you through this so you can get through the next thing that's on the horizon. This thing you're walking through is going to build your faith. Amen. Confess it for yourself and believe that. Okay, so we've talked about this parable. We've talked about how God cares about the needs of his people, how we should be able to come to God and pray persistently, pray persistent prayers, and how our persistence will reveal our faith. Now, let's break this down and apply this on a little bit more of a practical daily level, okay? I have to choose to know and remind myself that God cares about me and he cares about my needs. That means that every single day, no matter how discouraged I might feel when I get up in the morning, if you're anything like me, maybe some of the things that weigh you down tend to wake you up at night. I'm the kind of person that when I wake up at night, just being transparent with you guys, when I wake up at night, if the kids wake up or something and I can't go back to sleep, I don't know what it is about those hours, but it's like all the troubling thoughts come then. And I don't know why that is, but I have to choose right then and there, God, I know you care about me. Your word is so clear that I can cast my cares upon you. So I'm going to remind myself of that right now. I'm not going to let this thing steal my peace and steal my joy. I have to know and remind myself God cares about my need. Guys, remind yourself, remind yourself, remind yourself. The devil's always trying to remind you of your failures. The devil's always trying to remind you of your mistakes. He's always trying to remind you of your fears, the things that you're concerned about. Remind yourself about how much God cares about your situation. Not only that, but I have to go to God's word and I have to find God's promises for my situation. Let me just give you guys a practical example of this from my own life. And I feel like I can only tell like part of the story right now, and I might even get a little bit emotional just tell you ahead of time. Sorry. 1 year ago, almost a year ago in June, my wife and I were walking through some things where we were just looking into the future and saying, God, how are we going to navigate this, this, and this? And I had a very, very specific day where I was here at the church and I was just walking through our auditorium and there was something that was going on at the church, an event that was going on. And I just walked through the auditorium and I was looking around and my surroundings kind of grabbed my attention. And it was like in this moment, I just looked up and I knew in my heart like what I wanted the outcome of the situation to be. I knew what I wanted it to be. And I thought, God, this looks like the best outcome for me and for my family. This is what I'm praying for. This is the desire of my heart. This is what I'm hoping for. And to be honest, I didn't really feel all that comfortable asking God for that because I didn't feel like I deserved that outcome. I didn't feel like I deserved God to, you know, make that happen, to work that out, to figure this thing out for us. But yet it was the desire of my heart. And I remember standing in the middle of the auditorium just saying, God, here's the cry of my heart. Like, this is how I want this thing to play out with my kids and with our family and these other things. And as I began to just pray about it, I didn't have any immediate answers. I didn't even know what my next steps were. I just talked to God about it. But the one thing I knew, sorry, fellas, Psalm 127 says this about our kids. Guys, hold on to this about your kids. It says that children are a heritage from the Lord. Literally, that means that like our inheritance from God, outside of all the blessings of the kingdom of God, but our physical, literal inheritance is our kids. They're a part of our inheritance from God. And yeah, we're responsible for them. But if you really stop and think about it, if God has entrusted these kids to us, that means that they're just as much, if not more, his kids than they are mine. He cares about them. And if I care about them this much, I know he cares about them so much more. And we would have days where we would drive around and we would pray about things and talk about things with God. And my wife and I would talk about it just like, okay, God, this is the desire of our heart. We don't know how this is all going to play out. But I got to be honest with you, it's been almost 1 year since we started praying prayers about a certain situation in our life. And since then, like we've seen God just start to open one little door at a time. And every single time we didn't have the whole conclusion, we didn't have the whole answer, but it was like one step, one step, one step. And can I be honest with you? When I looked at the whole path to get from where we were to the thing that was in our heart, I would look back and say, God, I don't know how we get to that place. I don't understand it. And I felt like the Spirit of God just kind of spoke to me one day and said, you don't have to figure out the next five steps. You just got to know how to walk to the next one. And we have. That's all we've done is just take one step to the next step to the next step. And here we are. And we're just watching God work out a little miracle in our life right now. And it's been the most encouraging thing to us because we've had to go back in scripture and recognize, like, God, we know that you love our kids. We know that you care about our kids. So therefore, we're going to trust you with this, even though it feels totally impossible. And we watch God just work out one thing after another. And we feel like we're one step closer to seeing God just bring a conclusion to this thing that we've been believing for. So you got to know the promises of God. Guys, know them. Know his promises. Find out what the word of God says about your situation and hold tight, hold fast to those promises. And if you're not sure, I promise you guys, there's somebody there in your group. There's people in the church. There's people around that want to help you. They want to encourage you and they want to help you find those promises so that they can not only like tell them to you and you can know them for yourself, but then they can agree with you and they can pray with you over those situations. Not only that, but we should meditate on the promises of God. When I was young and growing up in church, like we didn't talk about meditation. That's kind of a funny word in the church. Yeah, it's all through scripture. Like I thought meditation was like something that like Zen Buddhists do or yoga people do or whatever, you know, like where you hum and you put your fingers together in some weird way and you like you fold your legs. Like that must be what meditation is. But yet scripture says all the time it talks about meditation. And really that just means to dwell over, to sit upon the thing that we're believing over or believing in and praying over. So when you take the scripture and you look at God's promises for your situation, don't just believe them, but begin to sit on them and meditate over them and think over those things. And pretty soon, it's amazing how God will start to change your mind about situations because now you're thinking about the situation the way the word of God speaks about it rather than what your experience or your worries or your fears have told you. No, I'm now starting to see this thing the way the word of God talks about it. And that's what meditating on the word of God will do for us. But then, can I just tell you guys this? When it comes to the things that we're praying for, don't pray problems, pray solutions. Pray solutions. We tell our prayer teams that pray for people on Sundays after church. Guys, we don't want you to just pray and say, well, Lord, I just hope that you hear our prayer and that maybe you'll do something about it. No. What does the word of God say about your situation? Pray prayers that are solutions for the things that you're walking through. Don't just pray problems. Like you can bring your problems to God, but pray biblical heavenly solutions over your situation and watch God go to work. Why? Because those aren't just prayers of hope. Those are prayers of faith. And hope is a good thing. We have a hope, an amazing hope in Christ Jesus. But Scripture gives us so many pictures of faith where we can declare God's promises and pray solutions over our situations. So don't be afraid to pray solutions, not just problems, okay? And then, guys, we got to believe. We got to believe that God's going to come through. We got to believe that when we go to Him for help, fully believing what His Word says about our situation, that He will bring about change. This woman, she chose to believe that this judge's word would change her situation. We have to choose to believe that God's word will bring a change in our situation. And by meditating on it, by confessing it, praying those solutions, God will be the change and He'll bring the change. But not only that, what about declaration? What about declaring God's word over the situation? You know, sometimes that can sound funny. I know we were talking about praying answers and praying solutions, but sometimes we have to declare out loud, just to remind ourselves or even speak it in our home so that we just bring the Spirit of God into that situation in our home. Sometimes declaring things is a really, really healthy thing for us to do in our life and in our situation. And I'll tell you this, a lot of times that is an idea and a concept that gets a bad rap. Oh, well, you can't just confess things into existence. And I agree with that. You can't just speak things that aren't of God and aren't biblical into existence. There's no biblical proof of that. But listen to this. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope," or our faith, "without wavering." Some translations there don't say hope, they'll say faith. Hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. I confess because I believe. When we see those words confessed there, and many of you probably heard me talk about this at the Bridge Church on a Sunday before, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, the word confessed there is homologia, homo logos. It means same words. We're not just confessing something that isn't in the Word of God and expecting it to come into existence. No, we are confessing the same words that God has already promised us. We're bringing Him His promises. We're bringing them back to Him and saying, no, I confess your truth over my situation. I confess these promises over what I'm going through. And even if you got to walk through your house and speak to those problems out loud, do it. If you have to talk to your kids, your friends, your family members, confessing it and speaking out loud, these are God's promises and I'm not standing on anything else. Hey, don't be afraid to confess God's promises over your life. Why? Because He who promised is faithful. And then not only that, we got to take action. Guys, there's going to be times in our life where praying is one thing, but then God's going to give us direction on what it is that we're supposed to do. And once He gives us direction, hey, are you afraid to take that first step? That can be scary sometimes. Sometimes we need God's wisdom. Sometimes we need God's not just direction, we need His correction. And it won't just bring about a directive step, it'll bring about a corrective step. And sometimes corrective steps are hard ones to take because it hurts us a little bit, because we're having to choose to go a new way. We're having to choose a new route of trust, maybe even correcting our own course and our own path. We're having to choose to not go our own way, but now go God's. We can't be afraid of that, but we have to be willing to take action. There's a great verse of Scripture in the Bible that says that faith without works is dead. And really, it doesn't make it about faith with no works or works with no faith. It's a combination of the both. I believe it here, so I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to take the steps. And I have this great quote that I don't even know where I learned it, but I've held on to it all my life. And to be honest, it sounds kind of childish, but I think it's really healthy for us to remember this sometimes, guys. And it just goes like this. If I do my best, God will do the rest. When I take a step of faith, God's going to be faithful to do the things that I'm unable to do for myself. So here's the question, guys. What are the things that you can do to move toward the solution that you're praying for? If I will do what I can do, God will do all the things that I can't do. I got to do my part, and God will do all the things that I can't. And then I want to give you a funny example of this, because I know that for a lot of us, when we think about praying to God for different needs, sometimes, you know, one of the main ones that we'll pray for is provision. And I remember several years ago, I heard somebody say something that was a little bit audacious, and I heard this in church, and I was like, man, that's hard for me to wrap my mind around. And I couldn't even go to Scripture and necessarily understand it, but I heard a preacher one time give this example of how he needed to see increase in his finances. And he said, you know, there was just a lot of provision that we needed for things in our family. He said, and one day I was just praying, and he said, God, I've always trusted you by not just like honoring you by giving. He goes, I've always brought you the tithe. I've always brought you the first tenth, the first of my income and my increase. I've brought you the first. I always have. He said, and the one time it just occurred to me one day, what if my step of faith for where I am, from getting from where I am to where I need to get to? He said, what if my step of faith is tithing on what I need rather than tithing on what I've already got? Now, listen, I'm not saying that that's what the Bible says, but this guy, He saw that as a tangible step of faith. And for him, it was a small step. He said, look, this is how much more I needed. And so therefore, I just looked at my seed and said, I can give a little bit more in faith that God will meet me where I'm at. I had a hard time wrapping my mind around that at first, but for him, that was what he felt like the Lord was saying to him. And he stepped out and he began to do that. You know what was wild? Was that he just trusted God. He was faithful in his job. He was faithful in his career and his calling. And he honored God with a little bit more and a little bit more in faith. Until soon, God just began to meet that need and go over and above even what he needed. And that was an incredible story. And I thought, wow, look what he did. He said, I'm willing to step out and take a step of faith. It wasn't something that was going to totally break him and compromise his family. It was just a small step of faith to say, God, I trust you. Sometimes God will whisper to us like that and say, hey, what can you do that'll help you get from where you are to where you need to be? And let me tell you guys, I wouldn't step out and tell you that you should do something foolish or wild or crazy. But for that guy, that was his simple, tangible step of faith to get him from where he was to where he needed to be. And sometimes God will ask us to take steps of faith. Are you willing to step out and take a step of faith? And then finally, guys, once we've done that and we've chosen to be persistent, don't give up. Don't quit on the thing that you're believing for. Don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Hebrews 10, again, we were reading from there just a moment ago, goes on a few verses later in verse 39, and it says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. If you read this in the Message translation, or it's not really a translation, it's a paraphrase, but the Message says, but we are not quitters who lose out or miss out. Oh no, we'll stay with it. We'll survive, trusting all the way. Can I tell you guys, there's not going to be a day in your life where you're not going to need to trust God for something. Throughout the rest of our lives, we're always going to have to trust God for something. But I'll tell you what, I would rather get to the end of my life and God be able to look at me and say, you never lost heart, you never lost hope, you trusted me till the end, than to be self-sufficient saying, God, I never needed you. No, I want to arrive there one day and have God look at me and say, way to go, way to hold on, you trusted me all the way, and that's something that I can reward. Surround yourself also, this is so important, surround yourself also with people of faith. I promise you, all of us can identify people in our life that we don't want to take our challenges to because they're not going to speak faith over them. And I'm being pretty direct when I say that. So when we have challenges, things that arise, don't go to people who can't help you. Instead, go to people that can stand with you. Those people might not be able to solve your problem, but they can help take you to Jesus, the one who can. And I just want to encourage you guys, right there in your groups, you got people in that group who can help to speak faith over your situation. They can encourage you, they can stand with you, they can pray with you, and they can go to God also for the thing that you are challenged with right now. So again, surround yourself with people of faith who will pray with you, but not just pray with you, they will keep praying with you, they'll keep believing, and they will walk this thing out with you until the end. So when we see that story of the persistent widow, the last thing that I think of in that story is that this woman was persistent, but she didn't have a husband, apparently, at home who could stand with her. And she just kept going and going and going. Hey, how good is it to know that we can have people around us who will stand with us in faith? This widow seemed to be going it alone, in a sense, and trying to find the justice that she needed. But how good is it to know that there's people in our life that God wants to surround us with until we get the thing that we're praying for and find resolution in our life? It's found in your groups. It's found in the house of God. It's found with like-minded Christians who stand in faith with you until the day comes that God meets that need and that thing that you're praying for. So guys, hold on to that. Don't give up. Keep praying. Be persistent. You're not going to bug God. He cares about you, and he's happy to help. So let's pray, okay? Father, I thank you so much for every single guy that's listening to this and watching it right now. Father, I pray that we would not be discouraged, that we would not grow weary in well-doing. God, we know that you are the God who is able to unleash all of the answers to every single question we've got. You're able to bring solutions to every problem. You're able to bring provision for every area of our lack. And you are able to bring wisdom in every single area where we lack understanding. So we ask that you would do that in our lives. God, for every guy that's watching right now that feels burdened and bogged down by the cares of this world, I pray first of all that they would know that you care. Father, right now in this moment, just tap on their heart, touch their heart, let them know that you care. Let them know that you're with them and that you see what's going on. But Father, I pray that you would also encourage these guys to let them know that they can't be discouraged. We got to continue to pray and be persistent, and that we can bring this stuff to you. We can pray to you, but we can come, we can ask, seek, and knock, and keep asking, and keep asking, and keep asking. God, encourage our faith, strengthen our faith today. And then finally, Father, I pray that we would not give up and lose heart. I pray that we would be people of faith who truly continue on in faith and living out a life that pleases you because we're trusting you. God, I pray that you would reward guys' faith right now in this moment, there's some guys that are believing for some things that they've been praying about for a long time. I pray you reward their faith. I pray that right now, this week, tomorrow, whenever it is, that they would get that answer, that solution they've been praying for, that they've been waiting for a long time. Some guys have been asking for a long time. I pray that you would bring an answer now. Just as the word declares here in this parable, that you would answer speedily, rapidly. Bring an answer. For those of us who might have been walking out something that's been taking a while, God, we trust you in your timing. We trust you. We choose to be persistent. We won't give up. We'll surround ourselves with people of faith, and we will see you bring solutions into our life. We trust you. This is our faith, God. We trust you. We'll take the steps we need to take and trust you with the rest. In Jesus' name, amen. So, fellas, check out the discussion questions there on your screen. Have some time together where you talk about these things and enjoy your group. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.